Santa Fe's News Talk Leader, Talk 1260, KTRC.
Welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry, and I've been working for about 20 years as an educator, a facilitator, a guide, a coach, using a lot of different forms, hypnotherapy, NLP, experiential processes, facilitative interactions. And while most of my work has been in the area of what I would call facilitative education, therapeutic work. I do work with individuals, groups, and organizations. And in many ways, what I could think of as the fundamental orientation of my work, which has come out of my own personal path, that it's really about movement. And I, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, I love it when something comes together where what's personally going on with me fits into the content of the show. And about a month ago, I went back home to my 40th high school reunion, which for any of you who didn't know my age, I just gave that away. And it was a really delightful event. We had over 100 of my classmates show up, and I have a significant number of classmates that we literally went through school from kindergarten through high school. And I haven't really stayed closely connected with people since high school other than through the reunion events that have happened periodically along the way. Now I think that's changing a little bit. You know, social media, Facebook, and so forth makes it even a lot easier to kind of stay connected with what's going on with people than ever before. But this particular event, in reconnecting with some people, one of my reconnections has fit into kind of a sense of things that I've been going through personally. As I've talked about a little bit on the show before, my brothers and I are dealing with, as many in our age group are, with parents that are aging and kind of dealing with end stages of life, and it brings up a lot of emotional issues. And while I'm someone who's considered an expert in my field and help many people in moving through challenging things, it can often be looked at that, boy, if I'm good at doing that with other people, then I must be, you know, really graceful with all that myself. And of course, the truth is, being a human being, I deal with challenges and stuck emotional places and stuff that comes up from the past that I thought I dealt with before, and now it comes back up around again. And lately, I've been really feeling like I've been confronting some very core, fundamental feelings and old issues, and so going back from my reunion and visiting my parents has really been bringing that up again as well. On the show, I often am having guests that relate to that part of my world, therapists, spiritual teachers, people who explore in the area very existential kind of conversations. But part of my life is also that I'm a performing musician, and I've always loved music and dance and movement. And today I have someone who's going to be helping me in a conversation about both the actual experiences about movement. You could consider him an expert in the field of movement, but also metaphorically, what does that reflect to us about what's available in our experience as human beings? So I'm delighted this morning to have an old friend, an old connection from childhood, John Malashok. He is the artistic director of Malashok Dance, which he founded in San Diego after his performing career with Twyla Tharp's company in New York. He's performed worldwide, won 5 Emmy Awards for his dance films, appeared in the Academy Award-winning film Amadeus, and performed in concerts with Mikhail Baryshnikov. Malashok's work has been commissioned by the La Jolla Playhouse, the Old Globe Theater, San Diego Symphony, and San Diego Opera. Good morning, John. Welcome to A Matter of the Mind.
Good morning, Mark. Delightful to be here with you.
Well, it's delighted to have you on because, you know, frankly, one of my most vivid memories of you, as we've talked about before, is playing Little League Baseball together.
I didn't know if we were going to go there or not.
Well, we don't have to go there very much, but you know,
I just think memories of that too.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bust that out right at the beginning here.
Right. Because so the path we both ended up on is quite different than our early sports careers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, and I have to admit, you know, that although I know a few details about what transpired for you, you know, from high school on and brought you into to the career that that you created, I don't know that much about it. And who you've become in the world and what you've experienced is very different than I would have anticipated for you. So I'm curious, how did you come into what, you know, has to be described from an external point of view as a pretty impressive career in dance and choreography and movement?
Well, and certainly, yes, not your typical career or career path by any means. It's you know, making a career in the arts here in this country is no small challenge, and I have been fortunate enough to really have my entire professional career be in the field of professional dance. So I'm quite fortunate that way. And I do want to just say, I think you very eloquently stated the importance of the metaphor of movement. It just comes into play in so many different ways, whether it's literally in what I do with dance or the way we have to move through life or move through especially the adversities, because it's very easy to get stuck in those, and movement is sort of what helps us get free.
Yeah, yeah. So how?
But in terms of my my path or my career, yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. I actually did start dabbling with dance when I was in high school, and this was just one of those, you know, things that happened to be one of the PE teachers who liked dance, and she petitioned the school to be able to offer that instead of PE for a year, and a group of people did that, and my girlfriend Maggie Cantor, I don't know if you remember her, convinced me to take that. And, you know, it was just sort of, you know, a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Who was the teacher?
Linda Musial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the women's PE teachers.
Uh-huh.
And so that was great. It coincided with when I was starting to do a lot of theater work. And people back in La Jolla would, you know, remember me in some of the shows that we did there.
Yeah.
But when I went off to college, not really with performing arts in mind so much, it just began to take over, and I was doing more theater work and took a couple of dance classes to help my movement on stage. And I soon realized that was more my artistic vocabulary, more my calling. And you know, and really continued sort of seriously training with dance through college. And as soon as I got out of college, I went into a professional company in Salt Lake City, actually, for a couple of years, and then in Europe for a year, and then finally moved to New York. And as often happens in this field, it's you know, not necessarily the things you plan to do that happen. It's [S2] Mm. [S1] Sort of a chance occurrences that you have to be open to. And you know, as I was doing various auditions, I remember being in class one day, and the person next to me I knew was in Twyla Tharp's company, and I said, you know, do you know if she's looking for anybody? And he said, well, there's an audition tomorrow. I think they're just looking for women for the company, but, you know, you can show up. And, of course, I went, and I was the one who got into the company. And that really, you know, that really set the real, you know, career path at that point. 5 years with her, traveling all over the world, and you know, doing some of her most well-known work was a remarkable experience.
How would you characterize that experience? I know that it's a lot to compress into a brief characterization, but how would you describe that stage of things?
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Twyla Tharp, especially at that time, was probably, you know, one of the best-known choreographers in the world, and it was really the heyday of her,
yeah,
her company.
Yeah,
it was intense. It was sort of incredibly exciting and incredibly rigorous, grueling at times. You know, we always used to like to joke about the glamorous touring life, and it's anything but that. It's, you know, day after day of, you know, rehearsals, performances, and getting up early and moving on to the next city, and, you know, dealing with the other personalities in the company. And, you know, so there's sort of a shadow side to it all. And yet at the same time, you're doing something that's just incredibly exhilarating.
Yes.
To be working at that level and with that level of other professionals.
Yeah, I relate to that kind of level more in my own life through sports experience. I don't know if you were aware of this, John, but I ran on a national championship track team at the University of Oregon back in the 70s, a couple of years. And so I had teammates that were at some points NCAA champions, Olympic competitors, American record holders, and the level of training and competition and performance there was just a completely different level of things than I had ever experienced before. And thinking back on that now in terms of what you're describing, I can say that the most challenging aspects of the experience were not the physical aspects. They were non-physical aspects and in some respects, challenges at a very existential level. Who am I to be, you know, with these people and competing in this? And both where I was successful and where I was not, it was more about my sense of who I was being than it really had anything to do with natural ability in terms of physical abilities and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if that is similar in your experience with Twyleth Arps Group.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's beautifully said.
You know what? I haven't been paying attention to the time. Hold that thought, John. I want to come back to that. We need to take a break here. You're tuned into A Matter of the Mind on Talk 1260 KTRC. We're streaming on santafe.com. We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with John Malishok, who is the artistic director of Malishok Dance. And we're talking about, movement. Movement in art, movement in life. And John, why don't you give us real quick your the website, so if somebody wants to tune in, check out the website as we're talking, they could do that.
Oh, good. Be happy to. It's malishokdance.org. Quickly say it's malashok dance.org.
Yeah, and it's very nicely done website. I was checking it out last night.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, if any of you who are tuned in, if you want to call and join the conversation, you are certainly invited to do that, to offer a comment or question or perhaps a brief story. The number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. I'd be glad to have you join us. So I kind of cut you off there at the break. I apologize for that. We were just talking a little bit about, should we say, the more feeling level, emotional level, existential level experience that comes with stepping into, should we say, a bigger, higher level of experience or trying something, or in your case, Twyleth Arps Dance Group. Mm-hmm.
I think what you stated very well is that, you know, the quality of the people you're around and working with, it sort of forces two things to happen. One is that it pushes you into finding ways to raise your game and kind of find out what you're really capable of. But at the same time, the flip side, of course, is, you know, having to look at and work on accepting your limitations, you know, realizing what you can and can't be. And that's a difficult balancing act that does play into one's emotional life.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine stepping into a troupe like that, there must have been dancers around you that you start watching and rehearsing with and practicing moves over, where you just going to go, oh my God, this is someone who is just like so beyond me. How could I ever do that?
Mm-hmm, yeah. On one day it's like that. And on another day, hey, yeah, I belong here.
Ah.
But it's not, it's not a consistent thing. It, you know, myself out there on an emotional level. And
yeah.
It means a kind of vulnerability that's not comfortable.
So how do you deal with that kind of shifting in the area of, as I said, oh my God, I'm being confronted with something that seems so far beyond what I could ever imagine myself doing, and then at the same time having these moments of, wow, I'm doing this, therefore I'm beyond what I had imagined I was, and as I said, it can be fluid and shifting back and forth. How did you deal with that in a way that kept you on track through all of that?
Well, I think the trick to it, and sort of at the better times, it was literally being able to kind of turn the mind off for a while. And just do it. Just plow forward and not think about it too much. Because I think in creative endeavors and physical endeavors, you know, there's certainly a place for thought and reflection. But when it comes down to do it, you almost have to let that mind get out of the way. Because as you know, if you start to feed those little doubting voices, nothing good comes from that.
So it really becomes about a choice of attention.
A little bit of a mental discipline to pair that along with the physical discipline.
And so here we go into the movement. You know, here's where the metaphor seems to be such a beautiful fit in the actual experience of what your experience has been about as the dancer, and we're going to talk a little bit about the next stages of things for you. But as a dancer, it's all about being, it sounds like, being in attention with the movement, as you put it. Set aside the mental activity and just be in the movement, be in the intelligence of the body, be in what that communication is about. Is that a good way of talking about it?
Yeah, and you'll hear that metaphor in any number of different disciplines. Musicians certainly talk about being in the groove, and
yeah.
You know, it's the point where you just trust that, you know, you've learned your craft, you know your, you know, what's in there well enough to just let it go and to not overthink it.
Yeah, and be in the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
but I think I've heard a lot of dancers, I've heard myself say this, that, you know, some of our absolute best performances are the ones we can't even remember doing.
Yes. Or they seemed like as if I had stepped out of myself and was kind of watching it happen as I was doing it at the same time. I've definitely had that kind of experience as well.
Yeah, yes.
Afterwards, it seemed like, well, yeah, I know that was my body going through that, but it seemed like it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've had that kind of experience, then the whole idea of what's me doing it becomes a different thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah, a little bit of abstraction comes into play there.
Where
we start to lose that attachment to, you know, to me, to who I am, and tap into something a little bit larger than that.
So you moved at a certain point from performer to working in film and choreography and other stages. How did that happen?
Well, you know, I after the years in New York and touring, it really got quite challenging. And you know, at that point, I was married, I had a son, and that life just sort of stopped working for me physically. It was so, you know, my body was kind of wrecked. And, you know, and this is like the ripe old age of 29. and I needed a break from it. And that's when we left New York. We moved back here to California. And really a couple of years went by before the need really reemerged, the need to be doing something creative, doing something in the art. And I really kind of pointed that, you know, the need is what drove me, not, you know, partly just to be able to create and let something out, but also that, you know, frankly, I'm articulate enough, but at best, I like dealing with something nonverbal. It's more comfortable for me somehow. And I needed that form of expression. And that's when I started making movement starting to create some of my own dances, not necessarily with the idea of forming my own company or nonprofit organization. That just grew out of the need to continuously be making work. And, but that did happen. And that started this whole chapter of my life. It's really about creating work rather than just performing it.
Mm-hmm. So similar to what you'd been doing, but again, kind of a next level or a next form of that same kind of energy that you had really connected in. Once you've experienced a certain level of things, I imagine it's challenging to just let it go.
It is, yes. And, not everybody feels that creative impulse. A lot of dancers really just like to dance. They don't really make things up. But people who do have the need for that creative spark, it's really sort of impossible to deny.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about movement in terms of your work in film and creating a dance group. The number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. If you want to call and join the conversation, you're listening to A Matter of the Mind, streaming on santafe.com. We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with John Malishok, who is the artistic director of Malishok Dance in San Diego. And we were just talking, John, in terms of our theme of movement today, that sounds like movement in your life not only was about performance and a high level of dance performance, but also what happens in what we call career and moving forward in life, to where essentially you hit a point at which something that had been a next level, more expanded experience about your artistic expression, you kind of reached a limit with that, and it was time to move on to something in life. But in that experience, you really awakened a greater awareness that creative expression, it was a fundamental language, a fundamental part of fulfilling experience for you in life, and became a drive to find other forms for that. Is that a good way to talk about this transition into choreography and what followed?
That's an excellent way of saying it. It's and it was unpredictable. This was not a planned move onto the next phase. And I think maybe in some ways that has characterized my career, that it's not like I planned it all out at some point and then followed the plan. Anything but. So there's been something of an improvisational nature to the whole career, and I think a lot of people in the arts find that they're following the impulses rather than just following a plan.
So you end up drawing from artistic form into a way of living life.
It's true. It really is. And they become very intertwined in a way. There's sort of an improvisational nature sometimes to the creative work, but that definitely translates into life. Because you know how it is. Life doesn't move along according to plan, much as we hope it will.
Yes, much as we might try to force it to at times.
Yes, exactly. And the forcing in creativity also never works, just like it doesn't work in life.
Yeah.
The times that I go into the dance studio with a very firm idea in mind of what I'm going to do or the kind of movement that I'm going to do, invariably the stuff that I throw out and don't end up using. And at best, when I go in and I just say, hey, I'm going to make up what comes to me on the spot with dancers in the studio, with an idea of theme, but not idea of what the specific solutions are going to be. those are the times it gets interesting.
Yeah. So it's easy in terms of your resume to look at, wow, five Emmy Awards in film and in related to choreography sounds like, wow, you just flowed right into this. And is that the way it happened?
No.
How did you end up with five Emmy Awards in films and choreography?
Well, you know, one of the things that I pride myself on a little bit is keeping my senses open to when good collaboration is potential. Is there. And I think a lot of people here, you know me as a good collaborator. I like mixing dance with other art forms. So what I'm saying here is that, you know, either when somebody does a good job of matchmaking, saying, hey, you ought to work with, you know, this director, or you ought to work with this musician, I listen to that seriously, and I meet with those people, and you get a sense very quickly of, oh, yeah, I'd really like to do something here. You know, even though I'm very used to making my own productions, very much believe in the kind of synergy that comes from, you know, pairing your own talents and creativity with somebody else's. So working with people, working with film directors has led to, you know, creating a different kind of storytelling with dance, you know, one that's really created specifically for the camera, and that's led to some of these very successful films. You know, it was not that I set out to say, oh, I want to go out and make dance films. It's that the opportunity came up by being attuned to it.
Yeah, you've used more than in one way or another. You, in this conversation, you've mentioned more than once an openness, it sounds like, to people who you cross paths with, who suggest something, offer something, invite something, and being available, being open to what shows up there, and being willing to follow that, almost on a whim, it sounds like, has served you really well.
It feels like it's on a whim sometimes, or it almost feels like in spite of itself, you know, it's easy to get into something, but, you know, when you start to sense, oh, this is kind of the wrong path, it's very hard to get back off of it sometimes. So, you know, that's, again, that's a little bit the shadow side of it. I've had some bad collaborations over the years where, you know, where it becomes kind of painful or combative. But the good ones are just exhilarating.
Yeah.
Where it just feels like you're sort of in each other's minds and fueling each other.
So then being able to shake off the quote-unquote the bad ones, to recognize them as early as possible in the process and shake them off and move on and continue to be open to what shows up, sounds like is a key thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, as an artist, and I think in anything you do, you know that you're going to be successful at certain efforts, and other efforts are not going to be as successful. And just accepting that's you don't bat a thousand, and you learn from your failures. You learn from the things that are disappointment.
Yeah. So in a sense, being available to the possibility of a mistake or a failure is part of what feeds success.
Right, and it also feeds creativity in a way. I mean, the desire to move past that, or even, you know, I mean, in my case, you know, I do a lot of storytelling with dance. I like to make it very relatable for audiences, and I do a lot of duet work. A lot of it's about relationships, and, you know, relationships have their good side and their very difficult sides, and I really like to portray all of that. So, there's a lot of good material to work with.
What was it like having some experience with was it Baryshnikov?
Baryshnikov, you know, this was he and Twyla did a number of projects together over the years, and so he was fairly close to our company and was a real admirer of the work that we were doing. And he was just an interesting presence. There's sort of not really been any dancers quite like him.
Yeah. And he's someone in my limited experience who, in a similar way you described, has been open to various artistic forms, not only dance, but even in dance, various aspects of it, but also availability to other creative forms.
Yes, and he allowed himself to go from being, you know, sort of this stellar superstar ballet dancer into a little more experimental forms and more exploration in modern dance. Not many dancers have been able to make that kind of arc or transition.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of his points of inspiration was Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's been a very credible actor in mm-hmm. some films as well, which is quite unusual.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you moved through a period that was focused a lot in choreography for film. How did you come to creating your own company?
You
know what, John? I'm sorry. I apologize. I've not been paying attention well to, you know, that's a sign. I've been enjoying the conversation so much. I've not been tracking my time as well as I usually do. So hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your dance company. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, and we're streaming on SantaFe.com.
Santa Fe's Progressive Talk, 1260 KTRC.
We're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with John Malashok, who is the artistic director of Malashok Dance, and also one of my childhood friends. And we're talking today about movement in art, movement in life. And talking about movements, John, you moved from, you know, say, more of a focus in choreography and choreography and film to creating your own dance company. And if I remember from what little we've talked about before, that wasn't something you were really looking to do. So how did that happen?
Well, it all happened to serve the creative impulse, so to speak.
I mean, that seems to be a theme here today.
Right, to create the work. You know, I needed a consistent group of dancers. To support a consistent group of dancers, I needed an organization. And so it all works a little bit synergistically. But as I said, you know, running a nonprofit arts organization in this country is a challenging thing. But,
yeah.
But it is what it really takes to do your work on this kind of level.
So how did what you'd done before lend to the challenges and differences about forming your own company and running that?
Well, a lot of that was learn as you go, and learning that, you know, you need to surround yourself with people who know a lot more than you do about certain things. And you know, that's really, I think, what makes a successful organization.
Means you have to recognize what you're not good at and be willing to have other people who are good at that. You got to get out of the way of your own ego to some extent, I would think, to do that.
That is very much true. Yes. Yeah. And it's been fun. We've been, you know, we're moving into our 25th anniversary season of the company.
Wow.
Which, you know, is an important milestone for us. It represents a lot of creativity over the years.
Do you have what's called a season each year where you're most predominantly performing, or does this pretty much run in a consistent schedule year round?
It's, you know, we try and be sort of consistent. We do a show in the fall that's a little grittier and edgier. We call it Malashok Raw, and we do that here in the fall. In the spring, I tend to do my bigger collaborative projects, and we do that in a bigger theater. We're going to do, this year's, we'll sort of celebrate our 25th anniversary season. And then we do a certain amount of touring as well, taking the company out and around other places. And interspersed with all of that, I work in other forms as well. I've done a lot with opera. I've done a lot of collaborations with music organizations. And right now I'm working on a big project. It's actually a dance musical based on the life and work and relationships of Marc Chagall. We're working in partnership with the La Jolla Playhouse on that. And I'm working with composer Yale Strom on the creation of that project.
Have you...
So it's juggling a lot of different aspects of it all.
Have you come to Santa Fe before?
No. Actually, we've not been there to perform. You know, I've certainly been to Santa Fe numerous times.
Well, I think it's time you come here and perform. I'm just going to put that right out there.
I think that's a great idea. I would love to.
Because dance is actually, you know, Santa Fe is one of these unique places. It's not a very large town. I mean, probably the Santa Fe proper is probably about 65,000 people, I think. You know, the greater Santa Fe area is maybe 125, 130, maybe somewhere around that ballpark. And yet, you visited here, you know, it's a very rich area for arts and creative culture. Among other things, we have a world-class opera here. There are at least a few different very prominent dance troupes that operate here. You know, if I can assist you in any way with connecting with anybody here, not like I'm highly connected in the field, but I certainly know people who are, and I would love for your troupe to come here.
It'd be fun to talk about that, see what we could make happen.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of connection in terms of opera between San Diego and Santa Fe. I know.
Yeah, a lot of opera organizations, you know, they have to get together on, creating new productions, and none of them can afford to do it on their own, so they do have to team up with each other, and I know there has been a connection. I've done a lot with San Diego Opera, and we've taken productions out and around the country, but I've never had the pleasure of working there at Santa Fe Opera. There's no setting like that particular facility.
In Santa Fe?
Anywhere in the world, yes. Yeah. So gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. And we have the pleasure occasionally of having some popular music presentations that come from time to time. I had the pleasure of seeing Al Green at the opera, Roberta Flack. There have been some really great popular music performers that have happened there as well. And it is a beautiful, unique setting.
Yes.
So we've got just a few minutes left here. I'm just curious, John, just to kind of put you on the spot a little bit, if you were to draw from both your life experience and your creative experience to kind of put out to the listeners, you know, your own, I don't know, invitation, any gems you have to offer, you know, especially for those who might be feeling a little, the possibility of inspired by listening to what you've described about what you've been through, experienced, been open to, who you've met, the life path that you've ended up living, what would you invite? What would you offer? What are the gems? What might you put out there to the world?
Well, you know, I think one of the things I would say is, I mean, the career path is, you know, is not for many people. I mean, you have to follow your own path, and mine was an unusual one that I really enjoyed following. But I do want to say something about movement, because I'm aware in this country that dance is sort of thought of as a little bit of an intimidating thing, or as kind of a language that people don't understand.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily make that connection to the fact that we all move. And as you well know, movement kind of unlocks things that can be a little locked up in the body.
Yes.
And there's so many different ways to approach movement in a creative way, whether it's in a yoga class or a martial arts discipline or a creative movement class. I just think it really opens up different pathways for people and introduces them to themselves in a different way. And I would just encourage people to challenge themselves a little bit. Just try things. Just try something they're not used to. In a moving field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I noticed that your group does dance classes for kids and for people in that maybe aren't dancers, so to speak, but just do.
Those are some of the most gratifying classes for me to watch is the classes for adults, you know, really at all levels, people with no experience dancing at all. It's just, as long as you've got a teacher who really knows how to work in that realm, it's just incredible to watch people transform and find parts of themselves they don't know.
Yeah, one of the organizations I'm affiliated with more recently in my career is an organization called Age Nation. You can find it agenation.com, and it's really something that got formed looking at the statistics about the aging population, that over half of our population is over 50 years old, and the implications of that. And one of the things that often people lose track of in later stages of life is just simple movement and body movement. And we now know so much about what's important from a purely health and enjoying life in a longevity type of aspect, that when we maintain movement in our bodies, that helps all kinds of physical health and well-being processes, as well as emotional ones.
Yeah, it is so important to keep moving.
So important to keep moving. So I think we're gonna take ourselves out with that one. I would just invite people, yeah, in the sense of movement, that wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, that, you know, from an existential viewpoint and really from a physics viewpoint, it seems that the present moment is the only place we live, and there's always this possibility of the future that we have available to be moving into if we're open to it. As you've described, John, an openness to who shows up, what shows up, that's an invitation to what's next in life. And so what if the possibility of continuing to move in a fulfilling way in life, what if that's simply a matter of the mind? Blessings.
Yeah.